So I want to look at a little bit about animals tonight. I don't know, we have any animal lovers in the house? Jonah, you like animals, especially fish, right? Jonah? No, not especially fish. All right. Proverbs 12 and verse 10 says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. If you got an animal, you need to take care of that animal. I've told Joyce one time, said, honey, if you loved me half as much as you do that cat. And she said, I do. So, yeah, got to study about that a little bit. But let me say right off, the one thing that separates a man from a beast, from an animal, is that an animal does not have a heavenly father. They have a creator. You and I have a heavenly father. Just thought I'd throw that in. Let me get a water here. But animals, the reason we can't communicate with animals, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the message, is that they have a different kind of spirit. But I want to look early on about the animals. The Bible says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You have a heavenly father. An animal does not have a heavenly father. They have a creator. Just a little nugget there. Okay, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and the creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Now, to a backslidden, Bible-rejecting Christian who has a tendency to buy into this evolution lie, notice that God made every animal after their kind. Remember that. Genesis 1:25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, cows did not evolve into pigs, and goats didn't evolve into bats. They were made after their own kind. You say, well, there's a lot of scientific evidence, what I heard in school. Well, you heard the big lie is what you heard on evolution. Paul admonished young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20 said, and 1 Timothy 6:20, profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, watch it, falsely so called. They say, well, this is science. No, it isn't. It's false science, just like fake news. Well, this is the news. No, it isn't. It's a big bunch of made-up rigmarole. You say, well, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. Would you take Jesus Christ's word for it? Would you take the Lord's word for this thing on creation versus evolution? You believe in Jesus? Here's what he said, Mark chapter 6. And Mark 6 and verse 10, the Lord said, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That's what the Lord said. Do you believe him? Well, man, the rubber meets the road pretty quick here on this evolution nonsense. Jesus was a creationist. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All right. Now, it's free country. You believe what you want to. It's dealer's choice. Go to Genesis 1:30. We're going to see about the animals. Genesis 1:30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth. I think they're talking, let me move on. Everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Did you notice that? Every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and everything that creeped upon the earth, wherein there was life, he gave the green herb. That's what was their food. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, everything that creeps on the earth where there's life, and given every green herb for meat. That means for food. It don't mean, as we refer to it today, it remain, the meat in that context is food. That's what they eat. Green vegetables. The animals were vegetarian. What Genesis 1:30 just said is that the animals were not carnivores. They did not have a predatory nature. Not only that, but the scripture also teaches that when the millennial reign of Christ takes place, the thousand-year reign of Christ, that animals will go back to that state, to where they were tame without a predatory nature. They'll return to their vegetarian status that they had before the flood. Say, where you get that, preacher? Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Anybody remember the song, Peace in the Valley? Oh, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the beast of the wild will be led by a child. Remember that? It comes from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Isn't that wild? And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. That's talking about Jesus Christ. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 25. Man, a King James Bible will clear up college education. Isaiah 65, 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. All right, so we can deduce that somewhere after Genesis 1:30, the animals took on a predatory nature and began to be carnivores or meat eaters. And that after the Lord returns and set up his kingdom in that millennia, thousand-year rest on the earth, that they lose that predatory nature and they go back as vegetarians without and not meat eaters. He sets up his kingdom here on earth. They go back to being vegetarians as God originally created them. Now, Genesis chapter 2, look there a minute. 2:19, notice that the animals were also tame. Where do you get that? Well, they were tame enough to get into the ark without a big bunch of craziness going on. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. So what I'm saying, if the animals were vegetarians and they were tame, and it appears that they were because he gathered them all into the ark. It didn't make a big to-do out of that. When did the animals take on the predatory nature and become meat eaters? Well, I'll have to admit, I originally assumed, I tried to figure this out for a long time and couldn't find it. I assumed that with the curse came the predatory nature, because there's a picture in type there of the death of one animal justifies the life of another. Just pictured Christ, his death justifies life for all of mankind. But I couldn't find the scripture there. But here's what I did find. And I'll tell you how the Holy Spirit works. One day I was sitting in the license branch in Lawrenceburg. I'd taken someone there to get their license, driver's license or license plate. And I was just sitting reading the Bible. I don't know if I was reading it off my phone, or I carry a little small Bible with me a lot of times. But while I was waiting on them to get their place, I was reading in Genesis, and out of the blue, I saw it right in front of me. And that's how God works. You'll have a question about something, then all of a sudden God will give you the scripture when you wasn't even thinking about that question from 6 months ago. I saw right in front of me where some of the animals left their vegetarian statuses and became meat eaters. Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, now understand, this is after the flood. The flood of Noah occurred in Genesis chapter 6. So now we're up in Genesis chapter 9. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Same thing he told Adam and Eve. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat, food for you. Every living thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as a green herb have I given you all things. Notice the difference here between Noah here and Adam in Genesis 1:30. In Genesis 1:30, he said, I've given every green herb for meat to you and every beast of the field. But here he says you can eat all things, everything. God said, everything that liveth shall be meat for you. Then in verse 5, right here in Genesis 9, it says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. Will I require it? That's a wild animal that kills a man. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of him. Who sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So here in Genesis 9, God allows man to eat animals. And it's intimated that in verse 5 that animals are now carnivores also. But if you look at the context, post the flood of Noah. And how many people for years and years, those animals, they're carnivores. They would have eaten one another. The lions would have eaten the calves and all that. And how are you going to feed all those animals? Then in Leviticus, God separated the clean animals that a Jew can eat with the Levitical law from the unclean animals that God didn't want him to eat. Besides that, God set up a system of animal sacrifices that would picture the future blood atonement of the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. Now, later on, after the Lord was crucified and rose from the dead, the Apostle Paul told the Jews that they could eat what they wanted to. All creatures to be received with thanksgiving. So there's pictures in there and types, shadows. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Well, I think God intended me to be a vegetarian. Paul said it's okay. You ever wondered why when you buy, I love sausage. I eat sausage for breakfast about every morning. But I've never seen a pack of sausage that says, Matt, tastes just like spinach. Yeah, but yet they'll make all kinds of burgers that they want to taste like sausage. You don't see something say, oh, it tastes just like kale, tastes just like salad. I don't know about this. There's probably half of you folks probably vegetarian. You know who was a real nut on the dietary stuff? One of the greatest preachers that I love, Lester Roloff. Man, he was strict. He wouldn't drink coffee, wouldn't do anything with caffeine in it. The spices, nothing, hardly at all. And he was real strict with his group home that he had, the Rebecca Girls Home. And Dr. Peter Ruckman, when he'd go and preach for Lester Roloff, said he'd go out to eat and he'd get the spiciest, the Mexican, the most spicy, nastiest stuff that he could, just to show Roloff that he could do it. He could eat what he wanted to. I don't know why I threw that in, but let me move on. All right. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. The Bible says, one man eateth herbs, another man eateth all things. Let not him that eateth judge him that eateth not. You just do what you want to. Don't judge me because I like prime rib. Oh, well, I think everybody's falling asleep on me. Okay. But here's what I want you to notice significant here before Genesis 9. Genesis 9 is after the flood, which would mean that all the animals that entered into the ark were probably not only tame, but also they ate the same thing. Hay. Provender. Straw. So imagine for a moment an ark with enough hay to feed all the animals that entered into it. Another thing, there's nothing in the scriptures that said all those animals were full grown. If you've got an animal, just as soon as it is weaned, it's not as big as it is as an adult. That means they eat less. You see how that can clear up a lot of the speculation on how in the world all those animals could have fit on the ark, that kind of thing. Nothing says they were grown, nothing in scripture. And it would make sense to me, I've got written here, that if not, those animals would have just been weaned probably, not full grown. The Bible don't tell us that, but if you had a limited room and you wanted to take a lot of animals with you, the younger and smaller they were, the better. Now, here's three questions that preachers often get asked. Will I be able to have my dog or my cat with me in heaven? And I've had a lot of animals that I've loved. I've had dogs that I've loved, my hunting dogs. My sister posted a picture of a dog that we had as a little boy, a little collie mix named Ted. Man, I love my dog Teddy. Man, we had a lot of secrets that we shared together, and we'd walk those hills and hollers on the farm, and he's my best friend. Will I be able to have my dog or my cat with me in heaven? That animal. Another one is, does an animal have a soul or a spirit? So you go to the book. What does God say about it? What's the scripture say? That's the only absolute truth we have. Everything else is speculation. Fair question. All right, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3:21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? Ecclesiastes 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon in that neighborhood. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth down into the earth? There's a human spirit, Holy Spirit, unclean spirit, and the spirit of a beast. Four main spirits. So according to this verse in Scripture, animals have a spirit, and it appears at death that the spirit of a beast returns to the earth. Dust back to dust. Just as the body of man goes back to the dust. Okay, question number two. Does an animal have a soul? Now, I'll go back, regress just a second on the thing with the spirit. You know why you can't talk to the animals? Because they have a different kind of spirit. It's kind of like a different frequency. Anybody here old enough to remember the old AM radio sets? You'd turn them and go, then all of a sudden you'd hear the talking. You could understand what it's saying, but you got just a little bit of frequency and you couldn't understand anything. An animal has a different kind of spirit. You're not going to have a familiar spirit. The Bible talks about that. It has to do with what I'm talking about, where you can communicate with the animals. Just thought I'd throw that in. Something to think about, study about, go to the book. Now, question number two, does an animal have a soul? For years, I thought an animal didn't have a soul. I always heard they didn't have a soul, like a man has a soul. Well, they have a soul. The spirit's different. But does an animal have a soul? And the only thing I have to go by, and I believe every word in it, is a King James Bible. So Numbers 31:28. Numbers 31:28. And just out of the blue, this verse shows up out of the clear blue. And you read it without ever seeing what it says. It says, and levy a tribute, Numbers 31:28, unto the Lord of the men of war which went out to battle. One soul of 500, both of the persons and of the beeves and of the asses and of the sheep. The soul of those things. Don't look funny at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You do with it what you want to. You mark through it if you want to. So I stood corrected, as I always stand corrected by the Word of God. So if you read this any other way, that's okay. But what I see from Ecclesiastes 3 is that, and this verse in the book of Numbers, is that an animal has not only a spirit but also a soul. Now, question number three, do animals go to heaven? First of all, it appears that the body, remember we talked the other day about the body, soul, and spirit. When a man gets born again, God cuts that soul and spirit loose from the body of flesh. The flesh returns to the dust. The Holy Spirit intertwines with that human spirit and fills that soul, and the soul and spirit go to be with God in death, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But people who aren't born again, that don't happen. An animal, that soul is still stuck to the body. Remember, ye are dead in trespass and sin of the uncircumcision of your flesh. There's a verse that says, my soul cleaveth to the dust. So that soul of a beast and spirit of a beast which goeth down into the earth returns to the dust. Attached to the body. Let me see if we can get some clarity on this. And so we look at an unsaved man. In the Old Testament, men often referred to as souls. And that's because a soul is stuck to the body. And the soul is in the same shape as the body. We talked about that the other night. But it's stuck to the body. And the soul and body were inseparable. And that's why the admonition of both body and soul being destroyed in hell. It's the only way that verse makes sense over in Matthew. Now remember, I'm in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 28. This is before the new birth. It says, and fear not them, the Lord preaching to the Jews, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So that body goes to hell with the soul for an unsaved man. That's what that verse indicates. So before the new birth, it appears a man's soul is stuck to his body, and the Lord referred to it as the uncircumcision of your flesh. Colossians 2:13, what I looked at the other night, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he now quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The Bible said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to cut asunder between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. That's when you got saved. But an animal don't have that. It's a different kind of spirit, and the beast spirit is different than a man, so is a beast soul, I would think. So if you've been born again, your soul is no longer attached to your body, and it's quickened or made alive again by Christ, who's referred to as a quickening spirit. That's why over in Matthew, it's the only way this works, Matthew 10, 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and spirit in hell. Remember where he said, man, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. You don't want it to burn in hell. Now, for a saved man, that's not applicable. Okay. If you're saved, don't worry about those that destroy the body, because your soul and spirit are in Christ. You're in his body now. You are the body of Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That's why the Lord was, what he was talking about when he said, if the hand offend thee, cut it off, or the eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now back to the animals. I've got a couple minutes left here. Even though it appears from Scripture that an animal has a body, a soul, and a spirit, it indicates that it returns to the dust. Now I'm not finished. But for those of you who just don't think that you would enjoy heaven as much without your pet, I'll leave you with a couple of scriptures. First of all, we know from the verses in Isaiah that the kingdom of heaven here on earth during the millennial reign of Christ is filled with animals. There's animals, there's children playing in the streets. So there's lots of animals. We know from those verses that those animals are going to be tame from those verses in Isaiah. They all get along. Everybody knows that every living thing has DNA, that something can be reproduced from one little speck of DNA has the entire person's profile on it. We didn't know that till not too many years ago. Now here's what I'm getting to. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay, now here, what I've put together here, the DNA of every creature, never law, it would be a small thing. Say you're hanging out in your glorified body in the millennium and you sure do miss that pet that you love so good. Say, God, would you let me see, could I see that teddy dog again and spend a little time with that teddy dog? I just read where God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't think that's a big deal. I think that's a very small thing for God. I'm not saying animals go to heaven. I'm saying that you'll be there, and God, that DNA is somewhere. If God wants to recreate that thing, he can. Remember Ezekiel 37? What are all these dry bones? They come up out of the ground and the sinew comes up on them and the muscles. He said, that's the whole house of Israel. God brought them out of the graves, all the dry bones. I'm not saying that you're going to want that. I'm not saying that's what you're going to want for God to do that. But if you do, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now that's pleasing to me. I like that thought. If I want it, God's able to do it. Does any of what I've said tonight make any sense to you? Pretty far-fetched, preacher. Well, I'm just using scripture. It's all I got. It's all I got to go by. I don't know. Here's what God said. Isn't it something? Lonnie, remember that cat that you love so much? Oh, God may just let all those cats be in the same mansion that you have, loaded with all those cats. Yeah, Mom would say, kick it. Yeah, all right. Just kind of looking at the Bible for things that are important, you know. Pretty interesting. That thing's about the soul cleaveth to the dust. Interesting. I've had dogs that are so faithful and good to me. I buried my old 15-year-old mountain cur, Jake. Jake come from a high-powered bloodline. He wasn't a great squirrel dog himself. He had the blood from the world champion, streak bred out of Hillham, Tennessee. Went to Hillham, Tennessee and got that dog. He wasn't a great squirrel dog, but his offspring, the sissy dog, some of the competition squirrel hunters said that it was the best dog they ever walked behind. I say, if I want to see Jay, hey, I'd like to spend a year or two here with Jake. Would you bring him back, Lord? Like I'm asking him for some big deal. Small thing for God. I'm done. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, you probably don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You got to take care of your own soul and spirit. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Be a good time to trust Christ. Get saved tonight.